Welcome to this special Italian wine podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wine. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in. This episode is proudly sponsored by Vivino, the world's largest online wine marketplace. The Vivino app makes it easy to choose wine. Enjoy expert team support, door-to-door delivery, and honest wine reviews to help you choose the perfect wine for every occasion. Vivino. Download the app on Apple or Android and discover an easier way to choose wine.
My name's Stevie Kim, everybody, and this is the Italian Wine Club on the Clubhouse. I know this is not our usual Thursday slot, but sometimes we have to make exceptions to accommodate different time zones and schedules. Today is one of those. Today's call is our 12th installment of the Ambassador's Corner series on Clubhouse. As most of you recall, Ambassador's Corner is where Italian wine ambassadors like Susanna and what I like to call the Mod Squad, who are others from the Italian wine ambassadors community, to get a chance to nominate and interview their favorite Italian wine producers on Clubhouse. So today we have, of course, Alicia and Susanna Gold as the mod. Next week, we're back to the Thursday slot, and we have Tanya Morningstar Darling, who will be interviewing Donatella Cinelli Colombina. And then the week after that, it's 7th of October, and we have Slavek Kominski, our number one Italian wine podcast listener and our neo Italian wine ambassador as well, will interview Michele Scienza. Michele Scienza is the son of Attilio Scienza. So he talks a lot, just like Attilio. So watch out for that. And then we have the week after that, Mark Millen, who will be interviewing Mario Fontana of Cascina. So look out for those up in the coming weeks. As you know, this room will be recorded and probably replayed on the Italian Wine Podcast. And as usual, I've got a small ask. If you know what you know what we do here, right? I mean, it's nobody gets paid, and Italian Wine Podcast is absolutely a labor of love from me, myself, Joy, and Leica, and the entire gang, including the Italian Wine Ambassadors. Speaking of which, Leica just sent me a note, rightly so, because I don't know if you know, Attilio Scienza was declared the awardee of the Premio Nazionale Masi per la Civiltà del Vino. So that's like, you know, the Man of the Year kind of award for from Fondazione Masi. So we're very, very excited about that. There is a kind of a powwow celebration on the 24th of October, if anyone is interested in attending, or I think it will also be streamed live. So if you go to the Italian Wine Podcast, and if you can give a thumbs up to the Italian Wine Podcast and rate our podcast wherever you get your pods, we'd really, really appreciate that. So I'd like to now go and introduce our host ambassador, Susanna Gold, today, who will be interviewing Alicia Lini. So Susanna, actually, she's a sister of a friend of mine. I've met Susanna years ago because I did my MBA with her sister, Lisa, who I've not seen it in the longest time. And Susanna started her wine career way, way, way before I did. I think she holds like 1,000 certificates in the wine arena. But the most important one, and the only important one, actually is she is also a Italian wine ambassador from the Vinitaly International Academy, of course. Hence, our host moderator today. She is an educator. She's a woman who is very talented in doing many things, an educator, journalist, communications. She does anything you ask her to do. She's also, I believe, the ambassador for the Consortium of Lugana, and recently also Oltrepo Pavese. Is that?
Yeah, it is. It is Oltrepo Pavese, exactly. The Lombard regions at the moment.
Yeah, yes. And she has written for many, many magazines and periodicals. So listen, Susanna, the question I always ask are, of course, why did you choose Alicia Lini as your favorite producer to be interviewed today?
So I chose Alicia Lini because I'm a huge Lambrusco fan, and Lini Lambrusco is an incredibly iconic and fantastic version of Lambrusco. And I picked Alicia to feature because she's such a big proponent of Lambrusco, and I really admire her spirit, and kind of she's been everywhere as a proponent of Lambrusco. And also, I've been doing a grape series, and I'm up to the L varieties, and I happen to be right at Lambrusco. So it kind of, everything worked together.
That's fantastic. So when did you discover the wines of Lini?
So actually, I went to graduate school in Bologna, and that's when I discovered Lambrusco. But I discovered the wines of Lini actually when I came back to the United States through Jeremy Parson.
Oh, I know the dude.
So yes. Jeremy is a huge.
What's his blog called? I can't remember.
Dobianchi.
Right, Dobianchi, yes.
And he's a huge fan of Alicia's wines. And so he was always talking about them and writing about them. And I was like, you know, these are Lambrusco wines that I haven't yet tasted, so let me taste them. And then I tasted them and understood immediately why he was so interested in these wines.
Okay, great. So we're really looking forward to hearing your interview with her, your fireside chat. But you know, we're kind of geeky here at VIA, the Italian Wine Club. So what are the learning objectives that we should expect from the both of you today?
So first of all, I think what we should look at is that Lambrusco is a fantastic quality wine. And that's really what I want people to come away from this chat thinking about, forgetting about the way past of Lambrusco. I know the high level of everyone in this group, and so people think of Lambrusco as a great wine, but I just want to reinforce that understanding. And then the understanding that there are many varieties in the Lambrusco family. I believe there are 60, but there are a couple that people really focus on. And I wanted to get Alicia's take on the different Lambrusco that her family focuses on, the Lambrusco variety, I mean.
Okay, then that sounds fantastic. I have my drink ready, my wine. It's not Lambrusco, but it'll do for now. So I'll just shut up. This is the part where I shut up and I get to drink my wine. And to you.
Okay, I'm going to introduce Alicia. So Alicia Lini represents the fourth generation of the family, producers of some of Italy's most acclaimed and highly rated sparkling wines. If you see their logo, it says Lini 1910, and that's when they first established their winery in a town called Correggio, which is in the Reggio Emilia province, in Emilia Romagna, of course. They're not a family that's really into the trends of Lambrusco, so they've always made dry Lambrusco. That's what they make, that's what they've made, and that's what they're focused on. They do traditional hand riddling. And they focus on having wines that are fresh with bright fruit flavors and that are really fruit friendly. About Alicia personally, she started her career in a totally different industry that has something actually to do with her name. I've learned just today. She was a ballerina in another part of her life. So can I ask my first question to Alicia?
Of course, I'm here.
Can you tell us a little bit about when your family winery was founded? I said it was 1910, but can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes, it was my great-grandfather that started to produce wine and balsamic vinegar. The wine was already sparkling because we are in the land of Lambrusco. And we also, the generation of my grandfather, so the generation after, start to experience also the Pinot Noir. So basically the family is focused on sparkling wine. Lambrusco is 80% of the production plus this 20% of Pinot Noir. and the balsamic vinegar. It's a big passion that moved my family to focus on quality and resist also during the years when Lambrusco was exported in a very cheap and low level. So we always focus on that, and we have been the first to start to experience also Lambrusco through not just the Charmat, but also classic method, Metodo Classico.
Can we talk about which Lambrusco variety your family has really focused on?
Since the beginning is Lambrusco Salamino and Lambrusco Sorbara, because as you said, from the beginning, we are under the province of Reggio Emilia, but we are not far away from Carpi, which is already under Modena. So we probably got the influences from Modena, and we reinforce our belonging in Reggio Emilia, in, you know, together with Salamino, Ancellotta, and Sorbara, the three of them.
The three of them.
But I think that probably Salamino represents, we are not far from Santa Croce, we are very close. So from you know, I think that Salamino represents most my family because, for example, the classic method that we produce is 100% Salamino.
So can you tell us a little bit about that classic method? Because that's interesting. Do you consider, is that a frizzante wine or is it a spumante?
No, it's a spumante.
Spumante. Okay.
Yes, it's a spumante and it's a VSQ, it's vino spumante di qualità. And this is an amazing experience that really characterized our family in the research. And I think in something that... we start in between year 50 and 60, and we never stop to re-experience every year. Everything is millesime. We produce a grand cuvée of Lambrusco, and something very romantic if you consider even the past about Lambrusco and my family that, you know, try to challenge themselves itself in... spending years in order to obtain a bottle of Lambrusco instead to invest hours or just a few days.
Yeah, let's talk about that too, because so Lambrusco can be made into a spumante, it can also be made into a frizzante, so you do both the classic method and the Charmat method, but your Charmat is a long Charmat, is that right?
It's a very long Charmat. You can obtain Lambrusco even in a week time. Our, you know, entry level, our first product is obtained between 3 or 4 months natural fermented long Charmat in a big recipient. And this is a way to obtain the bubbling is really incorporated into the wine. And we are able in this way to obtain something very elegant, even if the Lambrusco is a simple, is an everyday life wine.
What about, so is Lambrusco always a blend? I know you said that your classic method is 100% Salamino, but are the other wines blends or are they all 100% the different varieties?
No, for example, our rosé, our premium line, the rosé is 50% Salamino and 50% Sorbara. Or in the Lambrusco line, which is very well distributed in the United States, is 85% Salamino and 15% Sorbara.
That's interesting. So it's kind of a decision of the different producers. So according to the legislation, it can be both. What about your favorite Lambrusco pairings? Do you have favorite pairings?
No, I always say no because they are very different. Lambrusco is a very big family. And even if our Lambrusco is under the Lini family, sometimes I really enjoy a glass of Lambrusco Rosé. Sometimes I really looking for a Lambrusco Scuro that is a little bit darker. Sometimes I cannot stay without a glass of Metodo Classico. It's like if I ask you which is your favorite shoes.
Yeah, no, that's true. But do you feel like Lambrusco matches with different kinds of food? Do you ever drink Lambrusco with sushi, for example?
Yes. I love Metodo Classico with the sushi and sashimi. I enjoy so much the rosé version with the fish in general. even, you know, poor fish, sardoncini fritti, or a risotto with the frutti di mare, or with the tuna. I like this. I love Lambrusco scuro with the plates of cappelletti in brodo. I like...
You're making me seriously hungry now.
And I enjoy so much a glass of Lambrusco with the pizza. I joined once with Stevie a clubhouse on pizza and a match with the wines, and Lambrusco came up. And I love also, I don't know, some bread with acciuga of Cantabrico and a glass of Lambrusco white or bianco, which is Lambrusco Salamino 100%. It's a very food-friendly glass.
How do you make it bianco?
There is no skin contact.
Okay.
And my family in the past started to produce Malvasia. Then at some point they stop and they start to experience Lambrusco Bianco because they have been attracted in the past and even today about France, champagne, awards, and everything. And at some point my family start to consider the idea that we can obtain a white Lambrusco, a blanc de noir of Lambrusco. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is works. So it works.
Are you the only family that makes a white Lambrusco? I think I've only had one other one.
I think a few, but just because sometimes it's more expensive to produce it because there are some technical operation that you can add to the entire process. And you have to be well affirmed into the market in order to be recognized for a certain quality. So you cannot produce a white Lambrusco and then fight on a bad level. So sometimes it doesn't worth it. And for my family, it makes. Mm.
That's so interesting. What about, are there aspects of your terroir? What's the terroir like where you have your vineyards that contribute to the Lambruscos that you make? Does the soil have a lot of...
Yeah, I have to say that Lambrusco, I think, is really improving now, also in the vineyards, but sometimes the mechanical picked up just compromise sometimes the quality. And I think that the quality you can obtain is about the terroir. It's true that the good wine born in the vineyards. So the selection is the base of everything. And my family is really maniac about that. But it's also the time of fermentation and the all the process that we have in the winery, in the cantina, that makes mm-hmm. the difference. And I think that once I tried to ask to my dad about the primary material, the terroir, right, and everything, right. And he answered me in this way, say, Alicia, we decided to focus on quality, and there are many, many factors that contribute to the final quality. And sometimes we can focus on grapes in general, but if me and you, we go to Champagne, we pick up the grapes of Dom Perignon, and we come back and we try to produce Dom Perignon, doesn't come up Dom Perignon. And I just understood the easy, quick sample that he want to share with me, just to make me reconsider all the aspects that contribute to the final quality.
So you know that picture on your website that looks like a rock band. Are those your brothers or your cousins? Like you and two handsome men? Who are those people? Yeah. Are they your brothers or your
cousin? Yeah, we are very cohesive. Yeah, we love this project because we really fight in order to make it. And we are a family team and we're proud to be together.
But not a rock band.
No, we are not a rock band.
No, but you look, because that photo, it just really makes you guys look like a rock band. So I digress.
No, we are not a rock band, but what we are doing is rock.
That's true. That is true. You do a symphony, everything that happens in your winery and in your amazing wines. So can we talk about how you see Lambrusco sort of globally and in particular in the U.S. market where I am?
I think that we have an amazing perspective in front of us. And I don't know, you know our story. You know how much we fight in order to affirm our name, the distribution and everything. But I think we have a real chance if we really focus on quality and if we are focused together with other producers.
To make Lambrusco more of a household name, you mean, in a different view of Lambrusco?
In being real, Susanna, in being authentic, in not building any story behind, and just there is this time of storytelling, but the storytelling has to be true and has to be consistent. And anything has to be fake for the next years. And I think that everybody has a nice story to tell if it's true.
And can we talk about, if I'm tasting Lambrusco in a glass blind, let's say, because a lot of people who are listening are professionals or, you know, really serious wine people. So how do I know that I'm tasting Lambrusco, quality Lambrusco?
You're tasting Lini or you're tasting Lambrusco?
Well, let's start with Lini and then how about Lambrusco in general? No.
I think that you, if you approach a red sparkling wine, it's not difficult to focus on Lambrusco immediately, because Brachetto can be sweet, but also, you know, Lambrusco, you can find it sweet, or Bonarda, or I think that the low alcohol that is inside the glass of Lambrusco, I think that this is probably a characteristic that can put you in the condition to recognize the Lambrusco.
Okay, so that's a marker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think, and if it's dry and authentic, when you drink Lambrusco, you really want to enjoy food with. I think that the connection is not just about a glass of wine, but a wine that connects your sense to something to eat. I don't know if I answer you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that's if I'm tasting Lambrusco generally blind. What if I'm tasting a Lini Lambrusco blind? What will I be getting in my glass? What will make me say, this is illegal?
It's illegal drugs. When I think that my dad has, who is the enology, has a particular focus on the elegancy. You're approaching something very simple, but you recognize that behind this there is an unbelievable research and studies on the balance. He really loves elegancy. He really likes simplicity. In term of, he doesn't like anything that has to be too much, too sweet, too acid, too dry, too sparkling, he always says that the wine that you really enjoy is the one that is like music, that is in the room, but then you forget what you are listening because it's just really compenetrate in your body and mind.
That's a great answer. I don't know if I have any more time or if I should open the floor or Stevie opens the floor to questions. I don't know. Stevie?
I'm going to bring Paul up because he actually raised his hand from the get-go. Let me try to get him up. Paul Bologna, of course, he's our your fellow Italian wine ambassador. Listen, Alicia, while we bring Paul up, and for those of you in the audience, if you'd like to ask a question, this is a good time to raise your hand, and we'll bring you up onto the stage. Paul, I'm trying to bring you up. I've invited you. Now you just have to accept. Let's try to do that. Listen, Alicia, in the meantime, can you give me, of course, you know, give me the lowdown with regards to how many labels you have in total, and
we
what
have
is
three
in
lines? Si.
Okay, and
no,
what
we,
is the
we produce three lines? Two are Charmat. We have La Brusca, which has been considered also from Wine Spectator the best sparkling wine in the world under $20. So this value quality price, La Brusca Bianco, Rosé, and Red, and Rosso. And then we have Incorreggio line, still Charmat, but is more fermented because the Labrusca is obtained between 3 and 4 months and then Correggio line between 6 or 7, so yeah, just double. And then we have Pinot Noir, Pas d'Ose, Metodo Classico Rosé, and Lambrusco Metodo Classico. That is something that you, probably you tasted in Opera Wine.
Which one did we taste in Opera Wine?
It was Metodo Classico Rosso, millesime 2006.
And how, like, what is the production, like, in terms of volume of
it's
these?
10,000 bottles every year.
Oh, my goodness. That's so, like, tiny. You can drink it basically in your family.
We just make the remouage manually, Stevie, and we make the degorgement manually. We sign every single bottles manually, so it's a hard work compared to also the Charmat that we just bottle twice, maximum 3 times a year.
Oh my goodness. So like typical, what that's really a, what about the other wines? How many do you, I mean, how many
now bottles? Now we produce 300,000 bottles.
In total.
300,000 bottles in total, but we are at years in an ocean, really. We are very small.
Oh, you're
in terms of Lambrusco producers. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that wine with me. Too bad I didn't get a chance to drink, you know, have a drop of any of that, but that's fine. You know, the problem is like running up our wine is like
time to drink my glass of now to Stevie. I want to just text you and say, look, it's impossible. The next time is gonna be possible. This that you drink another, not another wine, but even another typology. So you need to have our Lambrusco just to taste.
Yeah,
to enjoy.
I can. When you, yeah, the problem is like, you know, when you're running these events, it's like, you know, it's like you're the bride and, you know, of the of a wedding, right? You never get to eat the food, the taste of food. You're just too busy running around, right? There's so many great wines. We had 187 wines, the really the best of what Italy represents. But do you know, I didn't get a chance to drink a glass of anything. You know, it's not because they don't like me. It's just, you know, I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that sounds, I can't wait to taste some of your wines. So, Paul, you had your hand raised since the get-go. It must be really, really important. Hello?
Yeah, no, that was a mistake, but I do have a question.
I feel like, you know, everyone's had a drink already tonight. Okay, go ahead.
Well, my question is, well, I've been to Modena before, but I haven't gone out into the countryside to go wine tasting. And what is that experience like? What would, so if I'm staying the night in Modena and I came out to visit your winery, is it open to the public? Is it, what would the tasting entail?
Do you mean if you visit Lini?
Yes.
You are always welcome to visit Lini.
That's it. It's official. Everybody to Lini.
Yes, it's true. It's like that. So we are not an organization. We are a family. And I remember that the first time that, for example, Winebo came, I was really embarrassed because I said, oh my God, we don't have nothing to show in a way. So we are as we are. But we show our authenticity. So it's pane, salame, Lambrusco, and a nice chat. And I see people that are join us even tonight that just really already came. And I saw Fermented Boss that was here. Now is not anymore. And
He is. But he just changed his avatar. Look at that.
Okay.
Does it look familiar?
Paul.
Now you can see it, right?
No. No, Paul, you're welcome. Everybody, you're welcome. You can write me an email and we can accord each other and, you know, based upon your and my agenda. And it's really a pleasure.
You'll be sorry you've said that now. It's going to be like, you know,
it's my pleasure.
900 people in the Italian wine, community of Via. So
they are welcome. I mean it. I never, you know, when I say that I want to be authentic as my wine is, I don't say anything if I don't feel and I don't think what I'm saying, really, from my heart. Everybody are welcome. Of course, that if I'm in New York or I'm in the seaside, I will postpone the meeting. But, you know, if not, I'm, you know, a pleasure to have you here, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fermented Boss, hello.
Hello, how's everyone doing?
Now I can hear you fine. But you know, in your recording, when you were interviewing Ariana, your recording, your sound wasn't so great, but now it's perfect.
Yeah, I was probably because I was in California, you know.
Yeah, you know, California, they don't have Wi-Fi, right?
They don't have good Wi-Fi.
No. All right. Listen.
Not like New Jersey.
Mr. Yeah, Fermented Boss, Hugh, have you got a question for Alicia?
Two things. First of all, I just wanted to tell Paul and anybody else to definitely visit Leni because she showed me the winery, her balsamic, and took me out and educated me on the local cuisine and what pairs best with the Lambrusco. And it's fantastic.
What can you share some of those pairings?
Yeah, I probably don't remember how to pronounce.
Yeah, but I know you're a man from, you know, New Jersey. I understand.
Thanks, Stevie.
Hey, Stevie, I'm from New Jersey too, and I can pronounce.
I know, but you're fluent in Italian.
You're a woman,
right,
Susanna?
Yes, that's
okay. Let's try your best, Mr. Priest.
Gnocco fritto.
Well, yes, exactly. You knew exactly what I was going to talk about.
With culatello.
Yes.
Wait, Alicia, you're not. Let him. Give him a chance. The poor guy from New Jersey.
Listen, Alicia is a wonderful, wonderful ambassador, and she helps me out very well. And thank you very much. So basically, it's fried dough, and they serve it with the local charcuterie, and real simple dish, but it was fantastic with the fat of the dough and the fat of the meats and the Lambrusco, the acidity. It just it made my afternoon after a long flight from New York.
So, you know, I can tell everybody, a big shout out to also Melissa, Laika, Andre, Annie, Corinne, Jody, Sheila. I saw other people before. Kevin was here before. We're going to start a new series on the Vinitaly International Academy Instagram. So I think one day we're going to dedicate it to food and wine pairing. So you guys should send your, you know, favorite food and Italian wine pairing. That's just, you know, by the way. Did you have another question, Hugh?
Well, I just wanted to ask Alicia to talk about her balsamic. I know we're talking about Lambrusco today, but they also produce a balsamic, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, the balsamic has the same project of quality. You can find something around that is not authentic, and we just decided to produce this must-cooked and aged at least 12 years in order to be called traditional. So aceto balsamico tradizionale di Reggio Emilia has to be at least 12 years old. So we produced the red lobster, the silver and the gold, and it's an amazing experience just to try and to, you know, the pairing with the Parmigiano Reggiano, with the strawberry, with the ice cream based upon the aged. I think that there is a lot of to say about balsamic, but in a way, I think that you have to trust the producer and go through, because it's something that you don't have many opportunity to taste and to record in your mind and as a taste. So I think it's going to be a cool experience if you visit us and we try different balsamic together, really.
So, Alicia, you know, I had no idea you make a Lambrusco Bianco. What does that entail in terms of the winemaking process?
There is no skin contact from the beginning, because if you cut the grapes in the middle, the grapes is always white.
Yes.
Inside. Mm-hmm. So it's the skin that gives the colors to everything. So there is no skin contact, while, for example, there is just a skin contact for less than 24 hours for our rosé. And
what are the grapes?
There's Lambrusco Salamino 100%.
Okay.
And it's the same grapes that my dad works, use for the Metodo Classico Rosso. So when we start, when I conduct a wine tasting with our line, I start with a Lambrusco Bianco 4 months in a big recipient, natural fermented Charmat method. So drinkability, fruit, it's very fruity, very food friendly, good as an aperitif, but very good with the food. And I finish my family taste with a Metodo Classico Rosso, millesime, 2006, so 15 years in the bottles, red. And from the beginning to the end is Lambrusco. I open and I close with Lambrusco Salamino 100%. So it's unbelievable, the versatility of Lambrusco grapes. In order to, considering the pairing, but also consider the final results in terms of wine, are two completely different words, not two completely different wine. Fermented Boss can confirm this.
So, you know, I'm thinking that you're making such a small quantity, I mean, relatively small quantity of wine in terms of volume. And so your distribution is not exactly, you know, the supermarkets, right?
Yeah.
So how did you survive, or how what was the pandemic the past, you know, 18 months for you in terms of sales and
the pandemic was a flower comparing to the past years, because my family has been the first to start to export Lambrusco in the United States, but then we have to step back in the years where Lambrusco just became too industrial and too sweet and too cheap. So my family start to realize that we couldn't even compete, not just with that quality, but also with that kind of project. So we step back and we choose, my family choose this very pure position, you know, molto purista, una scelta purista. Ma questa, but this purist decision just cut us out from the market, basically, because in that years the Lambrusco was just cheap and sweet, and we refused to produce it. And the other Italian wine or Italian style that represents the made in Italy was red, still complex, woody, very alcoholic wine. So we couldn't even play the championship of Lambrusco, because we stepped back from that level of market. But we couldn't even play the championship of Italian wine in general, because we were not even considered a wine producer years and years ago, because we were producing drinkability, food-friendly wine, and sparkling. So it's been tough. Stevie, has been very, very
and,
tough.
But
so
do you
pandemic right. was a flower.
Who's your importer? Who's your importer in stateside? In America,
Winebo.
Okay.
Winebo. Put myself in a plane, and as Susanna said, I try to divulgate the new face of through me, through my family, through our idea, through our story. I met friends, not just people, not just colleagues, but people that really believe in our project. And I didn't make anything by myself, but together with, and apparently we are do it.
Okay, well, we certainly will do whatever we can to you know, help you and promote your wines. I think we can safely
Thank
say
you.
That. Laika, who is our clubhouse manager, backstage manager, is on stage. Laika, I know you
Hello.
Were looking for a house. yes, with your husband-to-be?
I just arrived now here in Modena, so
no!
I really look forward to see. Yeah,
you are welcome in Correggio. Fantastic.
Amazing. Okay, I'll definitely go there. Well, okay, so here's my question. Susanna mentioned that you have another discipline before you became a winemaker, is that right? So how did that help you in doing wine? I mean, like, how did this discipline allow you?
I think that I studied ballet for 12 years, so mm-hmm. I just got my final diploma. I'm a classic ballerina, but I was really young and I didn't realize what I was doing every day. I think that the passion just makes everything very lighter compared to the real sacrifice that me and my family, we made it. And what I learned, the discipline, you know, how to be focused, how to be constant, consistent, that you can obtain what you want if you are focused. This, you know, this mechanism, but from heart, not from heart, not in Italian, say like a memory. No, I think that this is really helped me in life. Yes, and then I went abroad. I took my bachelor and my master's degree in UK, and when I come back. My dad, I want to stay in UK and take my PhD, but my dad asked me to come back, forced me to come back, basically, and say, Alicia, I need you. You know, the family need a new generation to have a light. And they say, you have to come. If you like it, you stay. If you don't like it, you fly back. And I like it, and I try to stay. This is the little story.
That's very inspiring. Thank you for sharing that.
Listen, Susanna, do you have any other questions? Otherwise, I think I'm going to close up the room.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for joining and dedicating all this time to us. It's been really great to share this conversation with you, Alicia, about your wines. And I know you have three daughters, so I'm sure there are people waiting for you.
Alicia, where can we find you? Have you got a separate like handle for your Instagram or?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. You can write me there. I'm on Facebook and my email is Alicia Chiocciola Lini as my family name 910.et. Alicia Chiocciola Lini 910.et.
Fantastic. So we'll be looking forward to writing to you and torturing you with many more questions and
can't wait.
Yes. And sharing a glass together. Thank you so much. Super interesting. Thank you, Susanna. And don't forget to come back, you guys, next week. It's Tanya Morningstar Darling. This is really her name. It drives me nuts. She will be interviewing Donatella Cinelli Colombini. Back to the Thursday slot, 8 p.m. And that's a wrap. Ciao, ragazzi. Buon appetito.
A voi. Ciao. 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 Sniff.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.
Hi, everybody. Italian Wine Podcast celebrates its fourth anniversary this year, and we all love the great content they put out every day. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People has become a big part of our day, and the team in Verona needs to feel our love. Producing the show is not easy, folks. Hurting all those hosts, getting the interviews, dropping the clubhouse recordings, not to mention editing all the material. Let's give them a tangible fan hug with a contribution to all their costs. Head to ItalianWinePodcast.com and click donate to show your love.